Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network and producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and Phil Svitek, this is I Talk Movies. Long-form interviews with leading members of the film industry. And now, your host of I Talk Movies.
Hey guys, I got this epic music for you. It's Carrie Lane, and I am here with the amazing, talented people behind the movie Control Alt Delete. First off, I have James Cox, Molly Burnett, and Adam Shapiro.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, wow. Thank you for being here. So we got some exciting music. That James, you said you used a little bit of Daft Punk, Tron music in your trailers?
Yes. Unofficial trailers.
Yeah. Unofficial trailers, guys. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Daft Punk.
Yeah, it's definitely, some music that we definitely used in our temp tracks were, post-production and everything. It's very much of the vibe of our film.
Fun. Now, this is a cyber thriller, and James, if you could please tell us a little bit more plot-wise about your movie.
Absolutely. So this movie takes place on the night that all hell breaks loose. Mm. We're in an office building of a big tech company, think Google, think Yahoo, think Facebook, where they hold a lot of data. It's called the data center.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the night that a bunch of activist hackers, or what I like to call hacktivists, mm-hmm. Break in, and they take the sysadmin hostage, and they're looking for information to show the criminal activities of this company. But what they don't know is that they are about to uncover a AI that will take over the building, take them all, kind of trap them all in there, and they have to work together to break out. So it's a little bit of Die Hard mixed with some Office Space and a lot of fun. So.
Nice. And then Molly, you're an actress in the film.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about your character?
Yeah, I'm one of the hacktivists, I guess, so to speak, and I play Lex. Me and my boyfriend and a girl that we hired trying to hack into the Mana?
Mana.
It's been a minute. Mana, to kind of expose, the evils of the...
Yeah, the company, too.
The company.
Yeah.
Mm. And everything goes awry.
Yeah. Goes really bad.
Real bad.
Yeah. Real bad. I'd say.
And then, Adam, you're also in the film.
Hi, I am. I'm lucky enough to be in this film. I play Jayhawk. I work at Thule.
Yeah.
It's like a boring job, my job. Mm-hmm. I'm on the computer. I'm doing little information gathering and... installing different programs and I work with the servers and I work with Charlie, who's our lead and then I'm just here on a really bad night and I'm doing my work and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. You're the man that has to stand up and do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also the man who kind of gets us in the situation.
Well, yes, we could say that.
I dig my own grave and then I lie. It's pretty sweet. It's pretty awesome. But it's like Die Hard in that I do get a little bruised up and I'm running around an office building. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit like Bruce Willis.
Yes, that's right.
Actually, speaking of location, where did you film the film?
We shot it in Newport Beach, an office building that actually had a whole vacant floor that they were about to remodel.
Hmm.
But we shot during the holidays when none of that construction was happening, so we had the whole run of the place before they demoed it.
That was the best, because we knew they were going to demo it, and then when there was a big blood splatter, it was like... screw it. Who cares? They're gonna tear this wall down anyway. They just move on to the next scene. It was awesome.
We totally destroyed the place.
We blew up walls and
well we cut open walls where it was convenient and it was controlled chaos.
Now how'd you find this location?
This is one of the many, things that, you ask around, you talk to different people. This happened to come through a connection with one of our executive producers and it was, a guy who owned part of the building who was interested in getting involved in film, and we were happy to oblige. Absolutely.
Well, that worked out well. Yeah. I have seen the film, and I do like how that environment plays such, it's one of the other characters.
We'd like to think so. I mean, we really try to give the place some character, and, while it may not be the most textbook data center, it's our data center.
Sure.
It's our film's data center, so, yeah.
And then when did you make the film?
We made it just a year ago. We started shooting January 5th, I want to say, mm-hmm. of 2015. And it was, you know, basically our plan and the reason we got to work with such talented actors and everybody. Is
who?
Oh,
who are you talking about?
Well, there's
this guy. Brian.
Yeah, Brian Patrick Way.
Yeah.
He was a good one.
Yeah.
Part of the, you know, I think we were right before pilot season and kind of during the holidays, and we only asked, you know, a couple weeks work. So,
The whole thing shot in 2014 days. We shot this. Yeah. Long shoot.
Yeah.
No, 14 days. Wow.
Yeah. I know.
That's crazy. I thought it was just like the. I thought it was just because I was there 14 days. I figured like those were my 14 days.
Right.
But there was like other days. But you shot all of
them. You're in most of the movies.
Wow. Yeah. I am?
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see this
film. We didn't cut you out. Don't worry. Yeah.
And now, for those who acted in the film, how did you hear about this particular role in this particular project?
Take
that one. Well, I mean, you know.
Old school.
Yeah, your agent.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool.
Yeah, your agent.
It was just an old school East Coast audition email.
Yep.
Was there anything in particular that drew you to the project?
Oh, yeah. Well, then there was that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
once
we
found out about it.
Yeah. You get submitted, and then you read the script, and if you connect with it, you go off for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it works with the team and you, then you get to play the character, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the character, I actually went out for Andy's character, Sparrow.
That's right.
And then you guys brought me back in for the Lex girl, which is cool because she's like a badass, like. And I went out for a Sparrow that's a little bit more, she's very smart, very quiet, and so then it got to do a complete 180 and come in and speak.
Be really brash and loud. And,
Yes.
It was quite a 180, but it was, you know, that's the miracle of casting, you know?
Sure.
You go into it, you know, with certain ideas of what you're looking for, and then you're faced with real live people, and the people who are right for the parts, just they pop out to you. So
I had a great time. It was like a super last minute audition. I remember meeting you. I didn't realize I was going to meet you until like the day of, so I didn't have time to read the script. I just had time to kind of get familiar with the scene. Wasn't even that familiar because you were like, let's just start with the scene where you guys are
tied up
back to back.
Right.
And I was like, which scene is what scene are we tied up back to back? And just quick question, why are we tied up back to back? But so we ended up.
You refresh my memory?
Yeah, and we got to do it together. Like I actually had. You know, our lead actor was in the room, and we got to do it together back to back, and we improvised a lot. Blake Robbins, who's amazing, and we did the scene, and it was awesome. It was totally hilarious. I don't even think it was like necessarily supposed to be as funny as it was in the audition, but it was just kind of a wild thing. And then I went home, and I'm like, I have to read this movie, so I start. I like go home, and I was supposed to like have dinner, and I was like, Katie, this is my wife. I'm like, I gotta stay home and just read this script really fast because I think it's amazing. And so I got done and called my agents. I was like, please give that casting director a call and tell her I'm so sorry I was so late and that I didn't know anything that was happening, but I love it, and please tell them I love it. And then you guys called.
Yeah, well, it was an awesome audition. I mean, the reason we picked that scene is because it was kind of, in some ways, it was an improv game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you're two characters who have to talk to each other, but you can't really look at each other. But you're also kind of trying to escape. So it's, you know, It played really well, and ultimately what I look for in actors is people I want to work with.
Mm.
So little trust exercises like that tend to...
So I fooled you on that day.
You did. You did. You fooled me once.
Not twice, though.
Yeah.
Not twice. Oh, man, it was such a blast. I'm pretty comfortable acting behind a computer. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I'm on CSI Cyber behind a computer. Steve Jobs.
We
did CSI Cyber right after each other.
I was going to say, when were you on
I saw you on there.
That's so funny.
I was on this season.
Me too.
I play like a computer hacker. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of my thing.
Yeah. So you guys essentially swap roles because now you're the computer hacker. And thing.
Yeah, well, I'm... I'm trying to remember.
What did you play on CSI Cyber? It did air because I watched it when I was down in Miami.
Yeah, I'm kind of a stalker.
You're a stalker.
Oh. Nice. Sketchy.
Now, you mentioned the writing, Adam. James, you want to talk a little bit about the writing process for this particular film?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it kind of came around really quick, although it's one of those movies I've had the idea in my head for a long time. I was tinkering with this thing back in college. Some of my old friends and peers might remember a Control-Alt-Delete project I was working on. Well, this is it, you know, actually. But I didn't start writing until after Slam Dance, well, Sundance of 2014, is when kind of we, my producing partner and I, Brooke Kaufman, got serious about this and decided, hey, we're gonna just make this movie. We're not going to wait for permission. We're not going to, you know, kind of shop this thing around and let somebody else, you know, fuel our creative dreams. We're going to go out. We're going to set a production date. We're going to say we're shooting it January 5th. And we pretty much held to that.
Yeah.
Even before the financing was lined up and everything, we just said, we're doing it. And, you know, it's amazing how that works in the sense that when everybody knows that you're serious, you're actually, you know, you're like, okay, this is happening. It's not like, someday it would be great to make a movie. You know, things come together for you. So, writing the script, coming back to that, basically, you know, wrote the first draft. I mean, the story was always kind of percolating in my head, so a lot of the writing is kind of happening passively, if you will. But yeah, I cranked it out in probably 6 months, and then, you know, after that, we did a lot of revisions just to get the, you know, beats right and the characters' voices and everything, and yeah. I mean, you know, the work of writing, you know, yeah. So whatever, what you have to do.
You said you started thinking about it in college. Where did you go to college?
I went to Chapman University.
Oh, yeah, Chapman down there.
Yeah, down in Orange County.
They have a beautiful film facilities there.
Yeah.
They did.
Unbelievable.
They did. They do, actually. But yeah, actually, we did a lot of our post-production there.
Oh, really?
Thanks to their generosity. Yeah, it was great.
Cool. Oh, thanks, Chapman.
Yeah.
And was it fun to include kind of those homages to films? Obviously, you can tell you enjoy the films that you're kind of paying homage to. Like another one, you mentioned Die Hard and Office Space a little bit. And then also I would add Hackers a little bit too.
Maybe my wife is a little Hackers fan. Yeah, my wife is a huge Hackers fan. And I think I got that through osmosis.
There you go.
It's a movie that plays fast and loose with computer science, which was something we were trying to not do.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, this is grounded in real computer science.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I didn't know what half of the things we were saying were before we would get to set and ask you, what is a comp server?
Did you have to do a lot of research to get this information correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was important to me. I mean, going into this, we knew, okay, Avengers Age of Ultron is going to tackle similar subject matter, the dangers of AI. Now, they're going to... I didn't know at the time that it was going to be, you know, really jokey James Spader. I thought it was a little bit... I was like, okay, they're going to be tackling this thing. We need to do it in our own way that's going to be vastly different because we don't have the budget for big, giant cyborg robots, androids. My approach was, okay, let's look at the science of today. Let's look at how AI works and what's the truth behind all this and how can it be dangerous in a real world. Why, you know, I bothered to, you know, MIT actually, this is something worth checking out, is you're able to watch a lot of their courses for free online. This is something they just opened up, I think, a year and a half ago. So did I do? I went MIT, artificial intelligence. There is hours and hours of professor lectures on the subject. Half of it, I was totally. It was like another language. But
what?
Yeah, but it's really valuable stuff. It, for me, it really at least framed my understanding of the subject matter. So I understood. It's like, okay, this is what they can do. This is what they can't do. And this is what's theoretical. And we tried to move ourselves into the serious theoretical realm so that we could do some fun stuff.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. So cool.
And hey, so it's now out we there. Have Knowledge some photos. this first one here, we got James, it's you and your son.
Oh, yeah.
On the machine. And this is the machine
that's
in the
Mana.
Film.
Yeah, so that's the box that our AI lives in. And I'm talking about the green thing, not my son. He's featured in a little cameo.
He is so cute.
He's so cute. Right, just stoked to be right there.
Yeah, he's in the movie.
He is. He's in the at the very end.
Very, very good actor. Yeah. Very solid actor.
Yeah. Very real. And then why don't you tell us about this disgusting little thing?
So the topic of nanodesiccants is relevant to this. There is a hidden threat, a surprise threat within this data center that you have to see the film really to appreciate. Mm-hmm. But let's just say that Manna is able to weaponize a lot of the building's infrastructure and stuff to create some very frightening.
Is that an actual dead animal?
That is the product of Dan Diana, our special effects master.
He's amazing. Yeah, he makes a lot of amazing dead looking things.
We had a great makeup effects team. Nice. That was one of his little pet projects, if you will.
All right, we'll move on to our next photo. So we got some garage darkness.
Yeah, so there's a nice little scene where we tackle the dangers of self-driving cars. I'll just leave it right there.
That's good.
We'll I'm obsessed there. With the whole self-driving, the dangers of self-driving cars. Yeah. And how it's going to change other things.
Sure.
Like, you're not going to really need parking lots at the airport because the car will just drop you off and then go home.
Yeah. Here we go. We got Adam in this shot.
Oh, there I am.
Yeah. Hey.
Just doing a little acting.
Yeah, so Adam, maybe tell us a little bit about working with old Manna.
I liked working with Manna. It was it had lots of lights in it, and those lights would reflect upon my face.
Mm-hmm. Got any gossip? Create any good secrets about Manna?
Yeah. It was a cool contraption. It was probably my favorite movie prop I've ever gotten to work with, because it smoked and it blew up and it's like it lights up and it solved sorts of stuff. It's a cool. It's a very like. It's a prop is very alive. Oh, there you are.
And then we got Molly here. And the actress. Remember your name again, please?
Andy Allo. Yes. Yeah. There are two of James our actors. Yeah, this is me directing.
I love that super bold, awesome makeup choice.
Yeah, you want to talk about that choice?
It just looks so cool.
Actually, you know, this is kind of a neat little thing. There's one of the things that AI technology is able to do is facial recognition. And we now live in a world where that's very commonplace. It's built into iPhoto, even. You know?
Yeah. Sure.
One of the things that our hacktivists do to try to combat that, because they know that they're always being surveillance, they're always on camera, is they wear this makeup that uses asymmetry and you know, different patterns to throw off the facial recognition.
I think we have another photo, too. Next one. Yeah, here we go. Here's our other
So you get a better look at everybody's looks.
That's my crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
Some you guys kind of look BAMF there.
Yeah. We roll deep.
Oh, that's really interesting. I did wonder that, and I don't think I had a chance to ask you before, but that definitely makes sense, because it changes up how the face is recognized. Right?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we didn't, you know, go into a great deal of explaining that on film, but... that was definitely
Cool.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I mean, from a design point of view, I also was like, okay, you know, if these characters were action figures, what would they look like? You know? And they all have their own prop, and they're all, you know, for me, I wanted them to be larger in life and be off the screen, you know, you know, something where, you know, from an animation point of view, you always try to create characters that are recognizable in silhouette. I, you know, just kind of went for that from a design choice. And that's Brian Patrick Wade in the back there.
Brian Patrick Wade and I know each other from the gym.
Yes.
Yeah, we spot each other.
Yeah. 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 We got you again, Molly, here, kind of an action scene. Wait, we'll go back. We'll come, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is where, you know, certain things start to happen.
Start going wrong. Dangerous.
Yeah, with those pesky nanodeskins. Yeah.
Was that, Molly, was there any bit like a tension or anxiety? Or, you know, how charged were those kind of scenes where it's semi, you know, life-threatening?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you have to make sure you try and, I mean, you don't want to ever be too big because it's camera still and it catches every moment that you do. But you still, like, you might die, so you have to act as such. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, if I'm about to die, I'm kind of freaking out.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And then this next one, here's our back-to-back shot.
You might recognize this picture because that's the audition scene right there.
Right there, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's from the audition, even. You know,
I would say one of the most challenging, yeah, that is actually from the end. I wore those broken glasses to the audition.
You really wanted the role.
That was one of the more challenging parts of playing this role, was that my glasses break pretty early.
Yeah.
But I can't see without them, so I had to wear some pretty broken glasses for a little while.
Yeah.
I think we have one more. Yeah, here we go. So then, Adam, you want to talk a little bit about what's going on here?
Yeah, this is us looking at Manna and...
And you want to say the other character? What? Talk about who is the character next to you.
Well, we work together, and we're the like the last ones there.
Okay. Yeah, night
that
shift.
Night shift, and yeah. It's like the two of us that kind of have to man up and get us
well,
out of this situation.
This is when you make a certain decision to turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's not necessarily the best decision, but you're thinking, hey, you know, this might be kind of fun. Why not?
Let's try it.
Yeah,
maybe it can help us.
Fancy new box in the office. Why not?
Yeah, so we actually haven't really worked with Mana, so we're like looking inside of him, and Mana becomes like basically a character in the movie in this scene.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
this is pretty exciting. The movie kind of takes off right here.
Yeah,
it gets a little intense.
Yeah, this is where it goes from goes right to green light. Go.
Yeah,
that's right. That's when we got green
actually
light.
A green light.
Yeah,
and there's a very bright green light shining on my face from the Mana.
And now, James, you've had a few screenings already. You want to talk about where you've screened?
Yeah, so we had our kind of friends and family cast and crew screening back in November in Beverly Hills. That was a lot of fun. We were hosted by the Lemley Theaters, and they really took good care of us. Now, since then, we actually screened in Park City during Sundance, which was also a private screening, and it was kind of a way of dipping our toe in the waters of what an audience will think of this thing, because it's an unusual film. But
how did that go?
It went extremely well. It was a young crowd. I think the great example of there was like, okay, late at night. Few drinks back, it's a great experience and a lot of fun. And we had a rowdy, fun crowd, and they really enjoyed it. And I think that bodes well for the future of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be showing in Long Beach coming up very soon, this weekend, Saturday.
You have a time schedule you want to let people know?
Absolutely. We're going to be at 4 o'clock at the, it's part of the Geek Fest Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be Long Beach Comic Expo. Be there at the convention center. Yeah.
Are you guys going to be able to go down to that at all?
I am. Yeah. And I'm really excited about it because it's the first time I've seen the film.
I can't
wait.
It's a big moment. The convention, too. It's
I'm excited about being around geeks.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable when I'm around geeks.
Really?
Yeah, when I'm not at the gym.
You know.
Yeah. and so I'll take that day off working out, and I'll go down and...
And you got your cosplay ready, right?
And then I got my cosplay ready. I'm gonna be a...
Deadpool?
I'm going to be Deadpool.
Yeah, like everybody else. Right?
Yep. And then...
fit right in.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be really fun. And Long Beach. It's always a great excuse to go down to Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we're taking this movie direct to the audience there. I mean, this is a film that is dipped in geek culture and internet
memes. Lots of
references.
And
it's, you know, for me, when I wrote it, it was just like, okay... I know who this movie's for.
Hmm.
Let's craft it and fill it to the brim with all the stuff I love. And so the exciting thing is being able to screen it at a convention is we're going to be right there with everybody else. So yeah,
now,
I'm excited.
I bet, of course. Yeah. And then were there any happy accidents while filming?
Let's see. I mean, I like to think that you know having that location was kind of a happy accident
because
you can't really plan for somebody to say hey. Use our building, and we did.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say, you know, there was definitely some editing choices when we came into post-production that didn't really change the spirit of the script, but we did kind of rediscover some things from, like, earlier drafts and stuff where we're like, hey, wait a second, we can do this. And the movie features these commercials, which kind of help tell the story of what the company is, because they are very much a background presence. They're everywhere. Almost every shot in the film has a Thule logo, which when you see the film, you'll be very familiar with.
It's like Cyberdyne.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's on mugs, it's on walls, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's on T-shirts. You know, it's all part of the world. So to help kind of tell the story of this company, we kind of sprinkled around a few commercials in the film. And those were completely in post-production. We just were like, okay, this will help, you know, people kind of get a sense of like, okay, this is the tone of the company.
Mm.
And they, you know, although they don't really change throughout the movie, you start to feel differently about the company. So it gets a little creepier. You know, that's kind of the fun of it. Yeah.
And then for the actors, what was your favorite memory while filming? Or favorite experience?
Honestly, there's one that comes to mind right off the bat, which is that we were close to being done, And I got the news that I had booked a role in the Jobs film.
That's right.
But I had to tell you because there was like a date thing or whatever. Yeah. And then like you told somebody, and then when I showed up to set, like you guys made me a cake and it had the Apple logo on the cake and it said congratulations. And I was like, it was very cool.
Yeah.
Aww. But like it was like the greatest. It was a small crew and everyone worked their asses off. It was like an incredible crew and we moved along so quickly. And it was like, it was a really fun little, like, it felt like we went to summer camp for 2 weeks. Like, it was like a really fun group of people. And like, that cake was completely indicative of how family-like the atmosphere was. It was so cool.
It was a cake that was designed to taste and...
delicious. It was an Oreo. It was an Oreo cake. Yeah. And, I'm obsessed with Oreos. Ah, so it was, that was amazing. Delicious.
Well, yeah, I mean, from the get-go, I wanted to create kind of a family atmosphere there.
And, it started with a family meal at Maggiana's.
That's right.
Our first table read was at Maggiana's, remember that? That's right. The greatest table read of my life.
Mine is
never gotten a Caesar salad at a table read before. And a chicken parm.
Yes, there was, I mean, there was a plethora.
Oh, there was
wine as well.
Oh, there was wine. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And then, Molly, any particular... memories that stood out from filming?
Yeah, well, I feel like I need to say something about the actual movie itself, but I also remember, because our cast got really close in the college football playoffs.
But we were watching the football playoffs on the phone. The
final was on.
Yeah.
So yeah, we all got our phones out and tried to figure out who could stream it. We were sitting there watching the game.
The entire cast huddled around one iPhone watching the national championship.
A scene would go up and two people would have to leave and go to the scene and then come back and watch the football game.
It was. That was an exciting football game atmosphere.
Yeah, but everybody just got along, and it was just, I mean, that's awesome. It's such a, you know, that doesn't always happen, and so when it does, it's really special.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel both your stories kind of relay how much of a family and tight-knit group it was, and that's okay that it didn't tell stories of the filming itself, but that still, you know, shows how the process was, that you had an environment that you feel you could have that camaraderie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
First time I've ever acted with a rat.
That's right.
Same.
Yeah.
An actual rat.
A real rat. Yeah. Remember it's a real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, Josh acted with a rabbit too.
Oh yes.
I know. He got double rodent duty.
Yeah, he did get double rodent duty. That's why it said DRD on the call sheet. I didn't realize that meant double rodent duty. There's so many abbreviations on call sheets these days.
This is true. You're like, what
DRD?
Is this one?
What? DRDWF?
Any final words on the film that you want to tell viewers about? We'll come this way. So we'll start with you, Adam. No
final
pressure.
Final words? Oh, my God.
Just any comments on the film? Any things you want to say to viewers?
Well, I think what you were saying about grounding this film in real... the thing I loved about it the most was actually how many things were in the script and how many things that I had to deal with in the scene that I genuinely didn't know what it was, and I would have to ask you, and then you would explain it, and I'd be like, wow, he has a real grip on this. You knew exactly who the audience was. And it's cool to be a part of a project that is so specific and nuanced, and you know who your audience is, and I think that's really cool. I think this is going to be a really exciting movie for the audience. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think you also based it in reality, so it's it's kind of fun and a little scary to see, like, what, you know.
I know.
What could be happening.
Totally could be happening. Like the Apple thing right now with the FBI. FBI wanting the back door into Apple, and Apple saying, no, we're not going to give that to you because we don't want to give out all of our customer information and security. But, like, this is real stuff. This is, like, exactly what's happening in the movie.
Yeah. And the software can't ever be destroyed. Yeah. So they did, which I didn't know. I didn't know software can't be destroyed.
Yeah.
So.
Scary.
I know.
Well, it's infinitely copyable. I mean, that's, you know, the world we live in. Well, you set me up perfectly because I was about to apologize for getting on my soapbox a little bit, but as much fun as this movie is, I mean, what I think is important that people maybe take away from it is, you know, we do worry a lot about the NSA and things, but we also, at the same time, give away our information so freely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I feel is kind of important about this film is, you know, we're trying to expose a little bit of that, how we... Mm-hmm. You know, we get free email, we get free Twitter, we get free everything. And what do we give? Well, we give everything. We give our identity. We give, you know, every time we're tweeting something, that is put into an aggregate that tells, you know, basically it's collecting a profile about us of, you know, what we like, who we know, where we are, and you know, who of all of our criminal associates are. But you know, it's I think it's an interesting perspective, at least, that you know, we think that we're being catered to, that this is a product for us, but the reality is, you know, as Lex says, we're the product, and we should be mindful of that, at least as we use all these wonderful technological tools. So anyway,
it's very interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's your film, it's your vision, your voice, and I think the film definitely conveys that opinion, which is very rightly grounded. And then also, we're pretty much at the end, sadly, but we'll go down. Where can people find you, and are you working on anything right now that people should look forward to?
Oh, well, you can find me all over the social medias, Adam Shapiro, at Adam Shapiro. And I'm working on a pilot for TBS right now called Pussies, and it's hilarious, and hopefully it'll be on TV in a couple months.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I too am on social media.
Yep.
And my Twitter is Molly Dolly, but Dolly has two Y's because Molly Dolly with one Y was already taken.
Oh,
as was Molly Burnett. And then Molly Burnett on Instagram. I guess that's the other one that's big. And then I'm doing CSI Cyber for a little bit. And I just did a movie called The Wedding Party and another show called Relationship Status on Verizon Go 90. And that, I think, comes out in March.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, here I am on the festival circuit. You know, you can see the movie in Long Beach this weekend. I highly recommend that because it's in town. If you're in Los Angeles, come to Long Beach Comic Expo. It's not that far away. I'm also actually can give you a bit of an exclusive. We were recently accepted to the Palm Beach Festival in Florida, the Palm Beach International Film Festival.
Congrats!
We'll also be at Vail Film Festival, and coming up in March, the Silver Scream Festival, which I'm very excited.
Where's that?
Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, fun! Congratulations! Yeah, so that's quite a few.
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah. we're just getting started. You know?
And then there is a Twitter for the film as well.
Yes, that's at CTRLALTDEL movie. But you can also follow me at Darwin Fish if that's, you know, too much of a mouthful.
Well, thank you so much for watching. Thank you for being here. It was wonderful talking about this exciting movie.
Yeah.
And it is a really cool movie. I've seen it. The references are so fun. You'll watch it and you'll be like, oh yeah. And it's not one of those, I never felt it was ever stealing or anything like that. It was definitely one of those like, oh, I'm so happy. I love that part. I love that thing. And just, I think you.
Thank you.
Put it together nicely. Awesome. Sorry, that was my words and stuff. Yeah. But yes, guys, check it out. You can find it online. Again, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to follow the Popcorn Talk on all the movie reviews and news and exciting interviews like this one. Again, thank you for watching or listening for iTunes. Make sure to subscribe, thumbs up, 5 stars, all that great stuff. And again, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.